The World This Week, Politics.
Donald Trump was inaugurated as America's 47th president in a ceremony that was held inside the Capitol Rotunda because of freezing conditions outside. On his first day, Mr. Trump signed orders withdrawing America from the Paris Climate Agreement and the World Health Organization and revived sanctions on the International Criminal Court. He also declared an emergency at the border with Mexico, tasking the Department of Defense to come up with a plan to seal it and repel invasion from mass migration and trafficking. Refugee admissions were suspended, and a scheme that allowed people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to move temporarily to America was ended. Other edicts prohibited federal employees from interfering with free speech. An order restoring biological truth officially defined sex as male or female. All diversity, equity, and inclusion programs in government were terminated, along with their mandates, policies, and activities. There was even a presidential memorandum on putting people over fish in California. Most of Mr. Trump's decrees will be challenged in the courts. Mr. Trump also issued a flurry of presidential pardons, mostly for almost 1,600 people convicted for their part in the attack on Congress on January 6, 2021. Shortly before leaving office, Joe Biden issued pardons of his own, many of them preemptive to counter possible legal action by the new administration. Mr. Biden's list included members of his own family, as well as Anthony Fauci, the chief COVID advisor, and Liz Cheney, an implacable Republican critic of Mr. Trump. Volodymyr Zelensky used his speech at Davos to take Europe to task for not doing enough to protect its security, saying its leaders needed to do more than just post agreements on social media. Will Trump even notice Europe? The Ukrainian president asked, as he confirmed that he wants to meet his American counterpart soon. Separately, Mr. Trump said Vladimir Putin should make a deal on Ukraine, and that he was destroying Russia by not doing so. He suggested he would impose crippling sanctions on Russia if Mr. Putin refuses to negotiate. In Russia, a closed-door court sentenced three lawyers who represented Alexei Navalny to prison. Mr. Navalny was the leading figure opposing the Putin regime until his death in an Arctic penal colony a year ago. His lawyers were convicted of supporting extremism. At least 79 people died when fire engulfed a hotel at a ski resort in Turkey's Bolu Mountains, which lie halfway between Istanbul and Ankara. Axel Rudakabana pleaded guilty to murdering three young girls in Southport, a town in England, last July. The killings had triggered riots that were blamed on the far right. Mr. Rudakabana is the son of Rwandan immigrants. The Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, admitted that the authorities had failed to stop the killer. He had been referred to a terrorism prevention scheme three times, but never put under enhanced monitoring. Sir Keir stopped short of calling the murders a terrorist attack. A spate of violence between rebel groups in Colombia killed scores of people and displaced 32,000. The death toll in the Catatumbo region rose to 80 after the oldest guerrilla group, the National Liberation Army, or ELN, targeted dissidents of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, which disbanded under a peace deal in 2016. President Gustavo Petro suspended talks with the ELN and announced a state of internal unrest. Clashes in the Guaviare jungle killed another 20 people. The armed groups have long fought for control of Colombia's drug-producing regions. The ceasefire between Israel and Hamas came into effect, allowing aid to flow into the Gaza Strip. After a small delay caused by bickering over the details, Hamas released the first three hostages it has held captive for 15 months in exchange for 90 Palestinian prisoners. 33 hostages will be released over the six-week period of the truce. Meanwhile, Israeli forces launched a major operation in Jenin in the West Bank, targeting Hamas and other militants. Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi decided to resign as Chief of Staff of the Israel Defense Forces, saying he had failed to protect the country from the Hamas attack in October 2023. In his resignation letter, General Halevi also said that the war's objectives have yet to be fully achieved. 9 people were shot dead by soldiers at a gold mine in Ghana, according to a local miners' group. The army said that scores of illegal miners were carrying rifles and had fired on security personnel. The incident comes soon after the deaths of 78 illegal miners in South Africa, where the authorities had cut water and food supplies to the mine. The Taliban in Afghanistan freed 2 American captives in exchange for the release from an American prison of one of their number who was found guilty of running a drug ring to buy rockets to attack American troops. The prisoner exchange was announced on the final day of the Biden administration. 2 Americans are still held by the Taliban. A judge in Kolkata handed a life sentence to a man convicted of raping and murdering a junior doctor. The murder last August prompted protests across India against the lack of protections for female workers and the general disregard for women's safety. The killer was a police volunteer. At his impeachment trial being heard by the Constitutional Court, Yoon Suk-yeol, the president of South Korea, defended his decision to impose martial law briefly in December and denied that troops had been ordered to remove opposition MPs from parliament. Meanwhile, the anti-corruption agency investigating Mr. Yoon passed its findings on to prosecutors, recommending that he be charged with insurrection. Taiwan's opposition-controlled parliament voted to freeze substantial parts of the country's defence budget. A defence minister said the decision would affect Taiwan's ability to counter almost daily provocations from China. It could also incur the wrath of Donald Trump, who has said Taiwan needs to spend more on its defence. The first same-sex weddings were held in Thailand, which has become the only country in Southeast Asia to legalise gay marriage. More than 1,000 couples took their vows on the first day.